You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into the Gym Class here on KGYM for this midweek Wednesday. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you, Ben on the other side of the glass, Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side. Spencer spinning the dials today. It's a red letter day here at KGYM, Spencer. Keep that in mind. 2 weeks from now, we're going to look back at this day and just laugh, be happy about it, look back and say, man, did you hear it when that went wrong and then this went wrong and then it is all going to be better.
It is. We're going to look back and smile, Scott.
Yes, we are. Not right now, but we will in a couple of weeks. Yeah, we've got a little, we're doing a little switcheroo today, a little switchover from one system to another system. So it's been, for the most part, transition has been good.
Yes.
But there are always bumps in the road.
Right.
And we're coming on a rough patch over the last couple of hours.
Yes, transitioning from the old to new, and now getting into local programming. And yes, there are things that don't sound quite right just yet, but we will get those figured out hopefully sooner than later.
Yes, but we've got it all. The ship is steadied. We are in calmer waters. We are ready to go and take you through the 3 o'clock hour. We are presented, as always, by DePaco Community Credit Union. Give them a follow and check them out online at DePaco.com. Terrific people out there. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website. That is DePaco.com. Great show, packed show today. Mike Carmen of the Lafayette Journal-Courier will join us to talk Purdue football here in just a little bit. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com to answer your fantasy football questions as well. And once again, for the third consecutive day, we have a terrific swag bag from Cedar Ridge for one of our listeners to win out there. You are not eligible, Spencer. I apologize.
Darn.
In advance, as that will be filled with a $50 Cedar Ridge Winery and Distillery gift card, as well as a couple of terrific glasses and a Cedar Ridge Distillery hat. And we're going to give that away before 4 o'clock here today. And thanks to Cedar Ridge for helping us out with that. More information is available on that. You can go to our website at KGYMRadio.com here today. And Mark is there. Mark, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm excellent, guys. And it reminds me of the multiple times at the Gazette that we changed computer systems or pagination systems, what have you, as technology evolved. We had to as well. And guys, I guess it's adapt to change day, right?
Yep. Adapt, improvise, and overcome, as my colleague John Haggerty says all the time to us. And it is the watchword for today, Spencer. It's the watchword for
it
today.
It is.
Yeah. We got your opportunity to win that Cedar Ridge prize pack before 4 o'clock here today. We're going to talk to Mike Carmen here in about 10 minutes or so. And Mark, Spencer and I, we're a little down today. We're a lot down today. I will say this, though, and I cannot speak for Spencer. Spencer being a big Milwaukee Brewer fan, myself, as the people know, a huge Chicago White Sox fan. Our seasons have come to an end. And like I said, I have no drama yesterday. It was over, and then it was just, okay, how bad is it going to be? And gosh, can we just look a little bit okay in this game? Yours was just excruciating, terrible, if you're a Brewer fan, having Josh Hader give up a home run to Freddie Freeman, and the Braves win in four in that series.
Yeah, it was not fun. And like I said earlier, with the offense finally showing some signs of life in the do or die game, then the pitching just decides not to perform to the level that we expected. But now you just get to sit back and relax and watch the rest of the playoffs and hope for better things next year.
Are you going to watch a lot of the playoffs now?
I honestly don't know.
I don't either.
If it's Boston, LA in the World Series, I just have that bad feeling it's probably going to be Boston, LA. I probably won't watch.
We'll see.
I don't know.
That's the $64,000 question for you and I. I'll say this, and Mark, I'm going to get your opinion on this as well. And you and I talked about this earlier today. I am not upset about this 2021 season for the White Sox in the progression that I envisioned in my head. Now, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I came up with something. Okay, we got all these new guys, top draft choices, signed some good players, made some good trades. Let's see. Okay, 2019, content. 2020, yeah, we didn't see COVID coming, but got into the playoffs. 2021, won the division. Next year's a year they have to do something that's going to be letting people sit up and take note a little bit. So I am not upset as a White Sox fan. Spencer, are you upset as a Brewer fan?
Kind of, considering four straight years in the playoffs and only won one playoff series.
Okay, you have a little bit more to work with than I do.
Yeah, just not getting out of the first round, batting 192 and however many innings of baseball. Not good.
Not good. Okay, Mark, should I be upset as a White Sox fan about the season?
No, I don't think you should be upset, or Spencer. I understand Spencer's point, because the Twins were in that position the last 3 years, couldn't get out of their own way in the playoffs, the wild card or otherwise. But listen, you guys had both your teams had terrific regular seasons, not the greatest of divisions, especially in the American League, but you won your division, and that's a success. And not every team can get through the quagmire that is the playoffs. I would suggest to both you guys to take this point of view. It's ancient history.
So be it. So be it. I like your thinking. I like your thinking out there. 2022. Hey, White Sox got some experience. The young pitching staff needed experience. They looked like they had the deer in headlight look a little bit. And they're going to be back, hopefully, with a vengeance next year. That's the way I look at it. Hitting's only going to get better. White Sox won the division without Luis Robert for half the year, without Eloy Jimenez for half of the year. And they did a good job. Now, will Tony be back? I have no idea. That's not for me to answer and not for me to worry about over the next couple of weeks or so. And big changes coming for the Brewers, Spencer, in your opinion?
I honestly don't know. I just know they need to make some improvements all around. You got to get better at hitting the baseball, like I said.
Or Colton Wong,
192. Bunting. That's true. Yeah, pitching is there. I think you got to get better at the middle relief, because I think that was the biggest issue, at least from a pitching standpoint. But you got three great starters in Burns and Woodruff and Peralta, and then the back end of the bullpen. When Devin Williams isn't punching walls during celebrations,
that hurt yesterday.
That's something you got to work on. And then Hader, of course, giving up the home run to Freeman, but still back into the bullpen, starting rotation's good. Hitting, I mean, Christian Yelich has to figure something out. You got to figure out what you're going to do with a guy like Keston Hira, who two seasons ago was one of the best hitting prospects in the game, and now he spent more time in AAA this year than he did in Milwaukee. So you got to figure that out. I like Luis Urias at third. I hope they can keep Willy Adames. He was a spark plug for that team. Yes. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. That is a text line for you today. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you out there. Chris Listen, rotowire.com, is going to join us in about a half hour, so be thinking of your fantasy football questions and get those ready to roll. Phone line available as well at 319-366-1600. We'll have an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard for you coming up here in just a little bit. We've got our Cedar Ridge giveaway before 4 o'clock coming up today as well. Cyclone Tim, Spencer, and Mark. Being a Reds fan, he has plenty of room on his couch for all of us. So, thank you, Tim.
They're coming a little bit. They came contended this year. I like that Cincinnati team. We saw what St. Louis did. Milwaukee's not going away. So have faith, Cyclone Tim. Come on now.
Yeah, the Reds, much like the Tigers and I think in the American League Central, Mark, that they are on the rise right now, and they're going to be the team, I think, to why. And the Twins aren't going away. The Twins are not going to have a start like they did this year. And if they can get a little bit more pitching, I think the Twins are going to be fine, but they got to think about Buxton. They got to think of a lot of other guys. So it'll be an interesting offseason for the Midwestern teams. Let's just say that. Let's just say that. We talked to Cal Eldred yesterday, by the way, and if you'd like to go revisit that or if you missed it, you can take that in with our podcast, available at kgymradio.com. Click on the Gym Class. You can also go to Apple or Spotify as well. We're going to talk to Mike Carman coming up here in just a couple of moments and get his views on Purdue football. Hey, there's a game after Iowa-Penn State, everybody. It's Purdue and homecoming coming up Saturday at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. As fate would have it, someone has a wedding to attend Saturday, and the wedding, of course, starts at 3 o'clock.
Oh, goodness.
So, I'm going to see how this this all plays out. But
cardinal rule of wedding planning broken, Scott.
It was not my anything to do, just a friend of my son's, used to coach, and... yeah, and they had no idea when to start. It could have been an 11 o'clock game. Everything would have been fine. As you and I both know, Mark, we have no say in what time the wedding starts.
Darn sure.
So anyway, we're going to miss some of it, catch up. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we're going to get things taken care of with the wedding on Saturday. But at any rate... 319-366-1600. That is the text line out there available to you. Want to let you know what to look for tonight. Brought to you by the Double Z Bar and Grill on Ellis Boulevard Northwest in Cedar Rapids. Big hi to James and everybody out there. There's tonight 17 televisions over at the Double Z. Hockey. Take in hockey. We've got TNT showing hockey. We had ESPN last night. Did you catch some of the, Mark and Spencer, did you catch some of the hockey last night?
Very little.
Yeah, I did not. I was watching the train wreck of the end of the Brewers game. So,
well, as soon as the White Sox were done, you know, yeah, just going back and forth between the Brewer game, did some outside work. ESPN, for the first time in 17 years, had hockey last night. And people already complaining about their coverage is not as good as NBC, SN, and whatnot. No, you don't have the great Doc Emmerich out there. But I tell you what, you can see the difference in the way they approach things. ESPN is a little bit more of a big show. NBC Sports Network, I think, attacked it more as a, hey, it's a game. It's one of 182. Let's get down to it. Let's be serious. That's just a difference in the way that you broadcast and you televise things. Not saying one's better than the other, just throwing it out there. But TNT gets into it tonight.
Yeah, there's not any baseball tonight, nor football, but there's plenty of options, and I'm sure the Double Z Bar and Grill will have options on their 17 TVs, a handful of NHL games. There are NBA preseason games. Luka Garza in action against the Knicks tonight with his Pistons. And you know as well as I do, Scott, Spencer, I'm going to clue you in. I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I do know there's a huge soccer game for the United States men's national team at 5:30 tonight against Costa Rica in the World Cup qualifying. So, hey, look at me showing my knowledge.
Costa Rica. We should beat Costa Rica.
Should. Standings right now.
8186 was asking a very logical question. This was a bye week initially, correct? I have no idea for Iowa. Next week is the bye week. It may have been changed. I don't know. So if that is the case, then I've apologized profusely to the bride and groom.
I thought I heard that this was originally the bye week and then things got flipped. But,
well, there you go.
I don't know.
There you go. Then they did well, and you can't change things at the end, and so that's the way the ball bounces. So
I need to apologize as well if that's the case.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry out there. All right, we're gonna take a short break. Are we ready for a short break, Spencer?
Can we
do that?
We're good.
Very good. All right. We're going to talk to Mike Carmen of the Lafayette Journal-Courier when we come back, as Iowa will take on Purdue. It is not a bye week. Iowa and the Boilers are going to go at it for homecoming at Kinnick Stadium coming up on Saturday. So we'll talk with Mike when we return after this. You're listening to The Gym Class, presented by DePaco Community Credit Union on KGYM. Back with you on The Gym Class here on this Wednesday on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Spencer, we got Ben on the other side of the glass. Cast of thousands outside the door, trying to make sure everything continues on the beaten path here today as we make our big transition. So bear with us a little bit, but we are in calm waters. Spencer is doing a great job piloting the ship today.
I'm just glad I'm in here and not out there.
This is the first time since 1997 that I have not run the dials for my own show. And I got to tell you, this feels really weird.
I can feel the unease from across the room.
I mean, I have all full confidence in you, but it's just, okay, what am I doing? All right. Iowa Purdue coming up on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City as the number two rated Hawkeyes will look to avoid the L word, the letdown word, as the Purdue Boilermakers come to town. Purdue and Iowa always seemingly, for the most part, close games over the years. And Purdue has had the upper hand in this series as of late. Mike Carmen, kind enough to join us from the Lafayette Journal-Courier over in Lafayette, Indiana, covers the Boilermakers. And Mike, thanks for the time today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the first question I wanted to pose to you is, what do we know about this Purdue team right now? They're 3-2 overall. Not a lot has been talked about. Not a lot has been said, I think, as far as the Boilermakers, certainly around the country, but maybe even throughout the Big Ten. I just have the feeling they're kind of just flying under the radar a little bit. What do we know about this Purdue football team?
Doesn't Purdue always fly under the radar?
Well, not all the time, but more often than not, kind of like the Hawkeyes do.
Well, yeah, you know, I guess 20 years ago they were at the Rose Bowl, so they were above the radar then. Well, it's a team that is better defensively than it was a year ago because of wholesale changes that were made in the coaching staff, and they brought in some transfers. So they are better defensively. Although, in the first game last year against Iowa, their defense was okay. It played pretty well. But it's a team that still has a talented wide receiver in David Bell. They've started multiple quarterbacks this year, which seems to be a staple of what Jeff Brohm has done in his 5 years at Purdue. They don't run the ball that well, although they did get a good game out of their running back, King Daru, against Minnesota 2 weeks ago. So, like every other program, they've added some transfers to help and fill in some holes. And, you know, they're sitting at 3-2, which is not exactly where they needed to be. I think they needed to be 4-1 coming out of that Minnesota game before they got into the second half of the schedule. But 3-2 is still manageable, and if they can find some three wins here in the second half, then you know they get a chance to go to a bowl game.
Scott, didn't you see Mike's tweet? He'd rather talk about Bowling Night in America.
Sounded like it, didn't it?
Are you a bowler, Mike?
Well, you have to define, am I a bowler? Do I bowl? Occasionally, yes. Am I a bowler? No.
Because if you can find a way over here, we could use an eighth bowler.
An eighth bowler?
Well, I mean, we bowl five and we rotate because it's such a long year. And that 32 weeks is a long time or whatever it is. So
That puts a lot of wear and tear on the arm.
Yeah, it does. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, we kind of digress, and I blame myself for that, Mike. But Iowa should, it sounds like, prepare for both Jack Plummer and Aiden O'Connell this week.
Aiden O'Connell's will probably start. Always like to use Seward probably because you just never know. But yeah, they used two quarterbacks last game against Minnesota, but the second quarterback they used was Austin Burton, who's a transfer from UCLA prior to the 2020 season. He's more of a dual threat quarterback, and I always felt like if he could help them in short yardage situations, or the red zone, that would be his value. And he came in and he ran three plays against Minnesota. He got a first down on one of them. But I would say from a quarterback standpoint, those are probably the two that would be in the game on Saturday. It's not a two quarterback system by any stretch. It's just here's situations that Purdue can use Austin Burton, and you know, I think he just gives them a different look, gives the defense a different look, and maybe help them score some touchdowns in the red zone, because that's been their problem on offense. Is they've outgained every team that they've played this year, but they've scored exactly 13 points in their last three games, and that's a byproduct of only getting one touchdown in each game and one touchdown in the red zone. They need to get touchdowns, and if Austin Burton can give them a lift in that area, you know, they've got to give that a chance to work for them.
One thing, Mike, for sure, is that David Bell has been, he's a terrific player, if not the best receiver in the Big Ten. Certainly, he is up there, and he has had great success against the Iowa Hawkeyes. There's no doubt that Purdue is going to be looking for him to carry the ball, catch the ball, just touch the ball as many times as he can Saturday at Kinnick Stadium because of the success that he has had.
Well, maybe he could join your bowling team. I think he'd probably do well. They're gonna target him a lot. I think he's caught 13 passes in each of the last two games. And he's just a guy that you can double team, you can triple team, but he's going to figure out a way to make a play. But, you know, as you guys know, they need some help from other guys on the receiver core. And I think a boost for Purdue will be that they get their tight end back, Payne Durham. He went out in the Illinois game with a concussion, didn't play against Minnesota. You know, they had the off week, so he should be ready to go. And he scored 9 career touchdowns. 8 have come in the red zone. So he's a big target down there, but he's also a good target to have in the middle of the field as well. So that could open up some things in the Purdue passing game if they can get the tight end Payne Durham involved this week.
Mike, this is a defense that ranks right behind Penn State and Iowa, I believe, in terms of efficiency. What makes this defense go?
They're a lot more aggressive than they did, than they were last year, toward the end of the year. But really, what is making them better is the play of the defensive line, and that starts with George Karloftis at the defensive end. He doesn't have a lot of stats that jump out at you. You have to watch the film to look at his impact in each game. He's forcing the quarterback maybe to throw it a half second earlier. He's getting good pressure. He's hitting the quarterback maybe just after he releases the ball. So he's affecting the game in that way. He doesn't have a ton of sacks. The team doesn't have a ton of sacks. But they're getting the opposing quarterback kind of off their mark a little bit. They've only allowed, as a defense, I think 52% completion percentage from opposing quarterbacks this year, which I think is second in the Big Ten. So the defensive line has played well. They've given up some yards on the ground, and that's just going to happen. But the strength of their defense is the line. And then when you get to the back half, they have some good athletic players in the back half that are challenging routes a lot more than they did last year. Not trying to allow the big play, but you know they've defended the pass pretty well for the most part. But there's still improvement there. But it all starts up front with what's going on with George and the defensive tackles.
Mike Garmon joining us here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class, talking Purdue football. And as you remember, Mike, last year it was Purdue running over, around, and through the Hawkeyes early in that campaign, the strange game in front of basically nobody, the first one at Kinnick Stadium last year. That was Andrew Horvath. Of course, he is out right now. Can Purdue get a rushing game going? Is there potential there to get it going, or is it just going to be a situation where you're going to pass and pass and pass and then run just to keep everybody honest?
Well, I think they're going to try to get it going. And as I mentioned, you know, King Drew had 95 yards rushing last game against Minnesota, which is a career high for him and Purdue's best outing of the season when you take away the UConn game that they won 49-0. So they do miss Xander Horvath, but you know King Drew has proven to be capable. But they need their offensive line to pick it up a notch. They need to start winning some line of scrimmage battles a little bit more, especially in short yardage situations. But you know Jeff Brohm's going to take a look at what Iowa's doing defensively, and they're probably going to play a little bit deeper in the secondary than they normally do, just because Purdue has burned them in the past with long passes for game-winning touchdowns those first 2 years in 2017 and 18 that I'm sure Iowa fans want to forget about. But so, you know, if he sees that, you know, the run is there, he's gonna try it and try to, you know, get some yards on the ground. And, you know, hopefully then that'll open up the passing game a little bit more. But, you know, they want to be balanced just like every other team, but they do need to get some yards on the ground. And I would look for, at least early on, for Purdue to try to manufacture some rushing yards.
Mike, I don't know how much of it you caught yourself, but I'm curious how that Iowa-Penn State game played over there. And I don't know that Iowa fans are going to have healthy vocal cords this weekend. It was very, very loud there. But are the Boilermakers thinking this is a really good spot for them?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. You're coming off the kind of win that Iowa did, that Iowa had in that game, you know, having to come back and, you know, just the importance of that game and everybody looking at it. So, yeah, it'd be natural to think that they are in a good spot. But, you know, Kurt Ferentz has done this for 25 decades, so he knows how to get a team back on track. And I'm sure there's a high maturity level in that locker room to understand that they really didn't win anything last week. That what they do in the second half of the season is going to determine, you know, their success this year. But yeah, Purdue looks at this as a good opportunity because Purdue's coming off an open week. They're going to get some guys healthy that they haven't had for a couple games, and they know that they've played Iowa really well during Jeff Brohm's tenure here. So they're full of confidence. They feel like they can go in and you know potentially win the game, but saying that and doing that are two different things. You know, Purdue can't turn the ball over. I mean, you guys have seen what happened when the opponent turns it over against Iowa. It's over. I mean, so Purdue doesn't have to be perfect, but it's got to be pretty close where they're not making big mistakes that just hand gift Iowa scoring opportunities.
Mike, how about Jeff Brohm? Talking about him a little bit and this Purdue program. Everything right now, solidly behind him as far as the alums and everybody around Purdue football is concerned. Is there a notion that he needs to win a little bit? Where is he at right now?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, this is year five of his tenure, and you know, I think most fans and most people thought they would be farther along in the process where. Maybe in year five, you're more of a factor and you're challenging for the Big West title a little bit more than what's happened the last couple of years. You know, they got off to a good start in 2017 and 18 and went to back-to-back bowls, but it has slipped the last couple of years. And that led to a lot of changes on the defensive side. You know, I think they've gotten that part of the program straightened out. Now, you know, their bugaboo right now is just not being able to score touchdowns in the red zone, and that should be Jeff Brohm's strength. I mean, he's an offensive guy. He's a quarterback. They shouldn't really be having these kind of problems. You know, your question, you know, I think he does need to win, but I don't think it's a win or else type of situation right now. I mean, there's a lot of money owed at the end of the contract, number one. And, you know, Purdue is just not that kind of university and kind of that program just to automatically usher somebody out if they're 5-7 or something like that. He does need to win. You know, I think they need to get to a bowl game this year to just kind of show progress. But we'll just see how the second half plays out. But I don't think it's anything imminent at this stage.
You just hope it doesn't get away from Purdue, because then people ask how many days till the basketball opener and. That's not a bad thing. Matt Painter's going to have another nice outfit, right?
Oh, yeah. But is it an unwritten Big Ten rule that Iowa must open the season at Mackey Arena each and every year?
Well, I did look around and tried to find the unwritten rules of the Big Ten, and I haven't been able to find them. So I can't really answer that question. But, yeah, it does seem that way, that Iowa does have to come to Mackey Arena. At least it's in December, I guess. Maybe Purdue will not be rolling by then. I don't know. But they are loaded this year. I don't think there's any question about that. And it's just a matter of how they perform and how they play. And it should be a fun season of basketball in Mackey Arena.
Yeah. Mike, real quick, before we let you go here, what kind of game are you anticipating on Saturday?
Well, probably the same kind of game that Purdue and Iowa has played over the years, where field position and things like that are going to play a big role, and it's going to come down, at least this year, the way Iowa's defense is playing, it's just that Purdue cannot turn the ball over. You know, if they can get through the game without any turnovers, they'll probably have a chance in the second half to maybe, spring an upset. But, you know, Iowa's going to have to help a little bit in that regard, maybe commit a couple turnovers or not be as sharp as they were maybe in the second half last week. But, yeah, I expect it to kind of be a typical game where it's close, where you get in the fourth quarter and then, both teams have a chance to get it done.
All right. Hey, Mike, appreciate it as always. Thanks a bunch. And safe travels over here to Iowa City. And look forward to talking with you again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Mike Carman of the Lafayette Journal-Courier joining us here on the Gym Class here on KGYM. We're going to get to Chris Liss of rotowire.com coming up here in just a little bit. But first, we need to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update with Mark. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are next to the Home Depot, behind Taco John's, right across from Lindale Mall. And not a lot going on the scoreboard, but what do we have, Mark?
What effect did the Iowa-Penn State game and atmosphere have on recruiting?
A lot.
It did for at least one recruit, Johnson, a three-star running back out of Hamilton, Ohio. Flipped his commitment from Cal to Iowa late yesterday. And he had 17 total offers, including his final six of Cal, Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, and a couple others. So 6'1", 215, three-star running back in Iowa's fold right now. Folks are asking, what is the status of Sean Clifford? I looked around, and it's kind of unclear. His rib and upper body injury suffered at the hit of Jack Campbell. But it's kind of a good situation for Penn State. The Nittany Lions have a bye this week. Probably can get by without him against Illinois before visiting Penn State's or playing Ohio State. So that remains to be seen. Finally, former NBA star J.R. Smith has embarked on his collegiate golf career at North Carolina A&T. How's that possible? Well, Smith never played college basketball. He went directly from the high school ranks to the NBA. He finished far down the leaderboard in his first event. In his first round, Scott, he hit one into the rough and ended up stepping on a beehive and required treatment. Not exactly a fun feeling for an ex-Hornet.
Oh. you added the punchline. Oh, Spencer liked that one.
That was good. That was good.
That was good. Yeah, I have not done that. You have not done that either. I've ran across several snakes in the rough.
No, but in Arizona, I don't know if you guys have played golf in Arizona, but years ago, I was looking for a ball that got off track. Imagine that. And I was hit with a jumping cactus.
Oh, yeah. You don't go looking for balls in Arizona.
No. These needles just pop right off the cactus and didn't feel real good.
No, it did not. No, it did not. All right. We're going to take a break, come back. Chris Liss of rotowire.com is going to join us. Get your fantasy football questions ready to go at 319-366-1600. And as we go to break, going to give you an opportunity right now to pick up from Cedar Ridge our giveaway of the swag bag, our third one of the week, filled with a $50 Cedar Ridge Winery and Distillery gift card, as well as two terrific glasses and a Cedar Ridge Distillery hat. 319-366-1600. We're going to go with caller number six. That's 319-366-1600. You've been a winner over the last 30 days. Please do not call in. Otherwise, you're eligible. We'll let you know who our winner is, and we'll talk to Chris when we come back. And we are back with you on the Gym Class, presented by DePaco Community Credit Union here in KGYM. Congratulations going out to Brad from Parnell. He is our latest winner as far as the Cedar Ridge swag bag is concerned. Thank you very much for listening, and we've got two more chances for you to win right here on KGYM throughout the week. Don't forget the 5 o'clock hour with Todd and Alex is Drive Time. It is brought to you by Linder Tire Service with three locations in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Check them out later on today. They'll be on the air from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. No playoff baseball tonight. No playoff baseball tonight. How about that? Do have fantasy football ready to go. Chris Liss of rotowire.com joining us now. If you have a question, go ahead and shoot it to us via the text line at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. And I think we're going to have a lot of questions today for Chris because there were a slew of injuries in the National Football League last weekend, including my starting backfield of the 4-1 division-leading team in fantasy football, Chris. Lost both Saquon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire over the weekend. So
that's very unfortunate, Scott. It is a problem with fantasy football, though, man. It's really I lost Saquon in a couple of leagues, too. And the problem with Saquon was he just didn't have the decency to get hurt in the fourth quarter. You know, I mean, the idea, a player needs to get hurt after he scored a couple of touchdowns. You can't get hurt in the first quarter when you have 0 points.
True. Latest on Saquon, how long is he going to be out? Because I know people are going to be asking that.
So we talked to Stefania Bell of ESPN today, and she said, it's week to week. He hasn't even ruled out for this week, but pretty likely he's out this week. But it's not a high ankle sprain, and they didn't put him on IR. You know, the IR is 3 games, and if you put a player on IR, you can get someone else on the roster. So that's kind of a good sign. So it might just be a couple of weeks.
Chris, on the tech line today, Matt in Fairfax lost Russell Wilson. Should I start Carr or Wentz?
I would start Wentz against the Texans.
Tough one right there. And Russell Wilson with the finger injury, one of the many people that went out that last week of the National Football League. 319-366-1600, 8369. Let's go there next. Pollard, Darrell Williams, Hubbard, or Gordon at flex in a half-point PPR league?
I would go with Darrell Williams, I probably go with Darrell Williams. But just make sure if McCaffrey's out, I might go with Hubbard. But otherwise, I go with Darrell Williams.
1288 is in a half-point PPR. Wants to know about Jacoby Myers or Hunter Renfro. And do the Raider players get a downgrade with Gruden gone?
I don't really know what to make of that for the offense. I mean, Gruden is an offensive-minded coach, but it's just so weird to have your coach just disappear on you in the middle of the season. Like, it's not like he was on the hot seat, nobody really knew, and boom, he's gone. So, yeah, I guess I would go Myers against the Cowboys and half PPR, but I really don't know what to do about the Raiders. I'm not really sure what's going to happen.
Chris Liss joining us from rotowire.com. His appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications, the official sponsor of all things fantasy sports right here on KGYM. PPR league, they need one, Damian Williams or Darrell Williams or Gaskin.
I would go with Damian Williams against the Packers.
Pick a Williams, any Williams.
Yeah, they're all about equal, though. All the Williams are about equal.
8142 needs help at tight end in two different leagues, both half-point PPR. Number one, Ertz or Knox. Number two, Higby or Dan Arnold.
I would go Higby in the second one. And in the first one, Ertz or Knox. I'm going to gamble on Hurts because Goddard has COVID.
Yeah, that was alarming.
I mean, you know, it's going around, and they're going to get it. They'll probably get it more in the winter, too, because, you know, spreads when people are indoors. You know, it's seasonal, especially like in the Northeast and the where it's hot. I mean, where it's cold out and people go indoors. And so I think it's going to be more COVID in November, December than there is now.
Trade proposal here from 8096, Chris. One gentleman has, or it could be a lady as well. One guy needs wide receivers bad. He's running back rich, so he's going to send him Keenan Allen and Emmanuel Sanders for Jones and A. Robinson. I am set at wide receiver and already have Aaron Rodgers and Adams, Davante Adams.
Who's Jones? Aaron Jones?
A. Jones. That would be Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I would take Aaron Jones for Keenan Allen and whoever else, for sure. I would do that deal.
On the text line, Nolan in Cedar Rapids, Mike Williams or Brandon Cooks at a flex in a PPR?
Mike Williams.
That was easy.
Well, Mike Williams, I mean, I don't know if you guys looked at what Mike Williams has done. They said before the season they're going to put Mike Williams in the Michael Thomas role, and they have.
85-93, Chris, is Tyler Lockett worth starting since Russell Wilson is out?
It really depends on your options, but that's a difficult question.
Chris, I noticed you like Trey Lance and what you saw of him on Sunday. Why?
He was just running the ball like Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson. I mean, there's running quarterbacks like Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers 10 years ago or Patrick Mahomes, they're good running quarterbacks. But Trey Lance is like Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. This guy is like a running back who plays quarterback. You know, obviously he's raw, but it is just so easy to get fantasy points when you have one of those guys. And I think it really makes quarterback play in real life a lot easier when the defense has to worry about that. So he kind of looked good to me. He didn't put up a lot of points. They got stuffed in fourth down once. But I think he passed the eye test. He looked kind of like an exciting player tonight.
Chris, some folks that you were looking at this week that could have potential breakout weeks anyway, or weeks they just stay healthy. I think we're getting to that point of the season right now in both fantasy and in real-life NFL.
Yeah, I think you want to look at some of the disappointing guys like Allen Robinson. You know, Fields and him going to finally connect. I think it'll happen. It might even happen this week against Green Bay. You know, guys like A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown has been banged up and really hasn't done much. I think, you know, look for guys like that to get healthy. You've got to watch the practice reports. But sort of the good players that have started a little slow, usually those guys figured out. There's a reason they're great players. They figure things out. Julio Jones is back at practice. That may help Brown a little bit, too, get a little more space. So, I don't know, a couple guys like that.
0503, I believe, is just wanting this question answered just to show his depth and bragging a little bit at wide receiver in his PPR league. He needs three of these: Thielen, Jamar Chase, DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf, and Hollywood Brown.
Oh, wow. I would say Hopkins for sure. And then, Metcalf, I would say for sure, except you've got Geno Smith. I can't remember all his guys, but Hollywood Brown getting to try. I would say Hollywood Brown, Hopkins, and Metcalf probably.
That's tough. I mean, Jamar Chase does is catch long touchdown passes.
Chase, the Bengals. I would probably go Chase over Metcalf. I think it's hard to sit Metcalf. You know what Metcalf looks like, right? It's like Metcalf looks like he could play defensive end, but he runs a 4.3. So it's maybe use Chase over Metcalf, just give Geno Smith. He did throw a touchdown to him in the last week, but maybe give Metcalf a game to show that he can play with Geno.
Speaking of the Bengals, Chris, what do you make of Joe Mixon's trajectory at this point?
I'm not a Joe Mixon guy. He's a little banged up, and so we don't know how many snaps he's going to get. He played last week, but He only got 18 snaps and 10 carries. So he's dealing with this ankle issue. And, I mean, who knows, right? I mean, I assume he'll get, he can play again, he'll get a little bit more, maybe 15, 16 carries, but he's not getting a ton of targets lately. Hasn't gotten more than two targets since week one. It's tough, although, you know, Detroit, this is the matchup to do it. He's healthy and he looks like he's practicing. You got to start him.
Let's get to three here very quickly, back to back to back, Chris. Chris Liss of rotowire.com joining us here. 4688 is in a PPR flex league. Wait on, I assume this is Julio Jones, Jay Jones, or go with Knox, K. Herbert, or A. Collins?
I would be patient on Julio Jones first. I kind of like Khalil Herbert snatch out, but just see what Jones' status is. It looks like he returned to practice today.
Go ahead, Scott.
81-42 and a half point PPR. A.J. Brown or Antonio Brown?
That becomes a question now. Oof. I'm going to say A.J. at a hunch, but this is a coincidence.
80-96 is also a question I have for you because I also made this little move here. Do I keep Michael Thomas for the Saints? I traded for him cheap early as part of a trade. Is he going to be ready after this week?
I haven't really heard much about Michael Thomas, which isn't good. Like, usually guys are ramping up at this point. What could you get for Michael Thomas? What would you trade him for?
For me, I'm keeping him.
Yeah, so what is the guy, what is the question? Like, who, it always depends on who, you know, who for?
I think he's just wanting to know if he's going to, if you believe he's going to be ready to go after this week.
I mean, I don't know. This has been like a 2-year injury, really. But ostensibly, he's supposed to be back in a couple of weeks. I'd probably hold on to him unless I had something, you know, some incredible option in the waiver wire, which you probably don't.
Yes, be patient. This is coming from the guy that drafted Justin Jefferson last year, and after he did not catch a pass in the first four games, yes, Spencer, I let him go. Be patient.
I mean, you don't want to be too patient, though, because injured guys sometimes, you know, last year people were really patient with him and clogged the roster spot on the team all year, so it's just a hard call. I mean, it just depends. If there's someone really good, do it. But if it's just some okay guy, I would wait another week or two.
All right. Chris, let us know about rotowire.com, especially because people are going to be checking it out as far as last-second injury reports are concerned, and you guys have that covered.
Yeah, I've got basketball and hockey, too, starting up. Rotowire.com/trial is a free 10 days. It's really free. You don't need to pay us. After 10 days, you can decide whether you want to subscribe if you see everything again. It is rotowire.com/trial.
Yeah, hockey's underway. That was fun last night, unless you were a Tampa Bay fan. And that didn't work out real well. But it was fun to see the Kraken last night, too.
Yeah, they're with the first game, right? So.
Yeah, and Vegas knows how to put on a good show. That's hard to believe, I know, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Chris, hey, appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
All right, Chris Liss of rotowire.com joining us. You can check him out on Twitter, and, of course, they have great stuff at rotowire.com. We've got about 3 minutes remaining. We need to get to Bowling Night in America. This preview is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. And one of our nemesis we are going against straight up tonight, Mark.
Aren't they all, Scott?
Well, some more than others.
At any rate, Barry's Lanes is the opponent tonight, and we're going to try to get back on the beam after a couple of rough weeks, and we'll see if we can pull it off against Barry's Lanes.
Yeah, seemingly they always perform very well against us over the years. So we're going to try to get that thing turned around tonight. And we've had guys clean. Get their equipment upgraded a little bit. Cleaning, we've resorted to cleaning bowling balls with a couple of members of the Rusty Nails, Mark. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, it's not a bad idea, really, and we'll see how it works out tonight. By the way, I wanted to pass along last week's top performer, and he was Marcus Mitz. He had games of 290, 279, and 237 for a wonderful 806 series. It won't be soon enough that we see Marcus Mitz.
Chiefs fan, and I'm sorry, also Spencer, a Braves fan. So, yeah.
That's all right.
It happens.
That's all right.
It happens. He's one out of two for this week, so we'll see how it all plays out. We will let you know how Bowling Night in America goes when we have our wrap-up coming up on the Thursday edition of the show. Also, coming up tomorrow, we haven't finalized everything yet, but we've got potentially a couple of very good guests here either tomorrow or Friday. We'll just throw that out to you. Also, of course, coming up on Friday, it'll be the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, your chance to win a $25 gift card, that from Emil's Hideaway. And we'll have that. So we'll get the panel together coming up on the Friday edition of the program. Got about a minute and a half remaining here. Mark, no baseball tonight. It's going to be weird to not have a playoff game. You kind of get into this, you get into the rhythm of watching all kinds of playoff baseball, and now we only have one game five, and that's the way it should be. The Dodgers and the Giants should go down to a game five. I mean, that is apropos. Am I wrong?
No, I think so. Both teams with 106 and 107 wins, respectively, and coming down to game five, that'll be played tomorrow night. American League Championship Series, Boston at Houston, game one, up on Friday.
Yeah, coming up on Friday. They have not put out the schedule yet for the weekend, but Sunday night will be a single game. That'll be the National League. Both the American League and the National League will have games coming up on Saturday. Assuming those are going to be late afternoon and then a night game as well. They'll be on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. We've got Before the Boom, the homecoming edition, Iowa and Purdue, coming up for you at 12:30 with start time for that on 107.5 and 106.3 FM coming your way. So a lot of baseball, a lot of football coming up, as well as the NFL on Sunday. Spencer, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great job. You'll be in here the rest of the week, I'm sure.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Until we get this whole thing completely taken care of.
Like you said, a couple weeks from now.
You're going to go home, aren't you?
He gets to go home.
I do.
All right. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex next, right here on KGYM.
How do you play Powerball?